Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Okay, so episode 5 of the Cool Shit Podcast. I don't usually say my name, I've noticed I haven't been. So my name is Gareth Carter and we have some more guests this week. Firstly, we have Shanice. How are you going, Shanice?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Good. And we have Jaron. How are you going, mate?
Howdy. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good, good. As ever. Well, actually, we weren't sure if he was going to make it this week. He's been a little bit ill. So we have our editor-in-chief, also known as the Little Chief, aka the Little Chef. How you going, James?
I'm feeling much better, Gareth. Thank you for the sympathy. Yeah, I wasn't able to walk for 3 days after playing football.
Was it a sports-related injury?
All I know is I played 90 minutes of football and then I couldn't walk and I felt really sick.
Just getting old.
I'm 24. But I was saying I've got weird legs. They're like coiled springs and I should have stretched. But happy to be here.
So. Well, we've noticed your weird legs. We didn't want to say anything, but I'm glad you brought it up. It's not embarrassing anymore. Okay, right. Well, do you want to get into it?
Love to. I'd love nothing more. Right. So, Robo Burger, debuting in Jersey City, which is in America. Robo Burger is the world's first burger vending machine. So, basically, same as a normal vending machine, you're whacking your toppings, whatever you want, and it makes it for you, and it gives you a piping hot burger. What are we saying?
No.
No.
Yeah, I have a big problem with this.
Jaron going strong straight away. No, go on.
I came here, I sat down, I have opinions, and I'm here to share them. I mean, what's wrong with McDonald's is quick anyway. You go in there, you get a burger in 2 minutes. Like, why
well, this is my main problem with it, because I looked at it, and it says it takes only 6 minutes. I think that's long. Maybe this is a kind of Instagram fast food culture, but 6 minutes is a long time.
You can walk, like I said, you can walk in. They have them heated, made just before you walk in. They have them heated there. I want a Big Mac, bam. Two minutes later, you're walking out the door.
That's on a slow day, though. Have you not? I had it. I'm pretty sure I started a riot in Brixton McDonald's once because I've been there for about an hour and I thought this can go on no longer.
What's that? Yeah, that's normal for Brixton McDonald's. It's always an hour.
Yeah, fair. maybe it wasn't me. I was just near the front because I was getting pressed against the counter.
Yeah,
but on a slow day, you can get a Mackey's in, 2 minutes? But
yeah. I just want to know what problem it's solving.
I guess where is it going to be used is your question, right? So, I don't know. I'm at a train station. It's late at night. I'm starving, and I need something quick. Oh, look, it's Robo Burger. Thank God for that. Yeah, maybe? Yeah,
sorry, can I point out, Jaron immediately just went,
He converted. He converted very quickly to Robo Burger.
I haven't got the name U-Turn-J for no reason. Yeah, I'm on board.
Has anyone ever had a Rustler's Burger? That's the microwave burger. You get them in petrol stations where you can have a burger in minutes.
No? The fact that you're microwaving your salad, absolutely not. You can't put it all in there. No, you can't put the whole burger
salad
in a microwave.
I don't think a Brussels burger has salad in it.
You're not getting your 5 a day from a Brussels burger.
Don't it have a little bit of lettuce going on in there?
I think it's just the bun and the burger. Is it just the bun and the burger? Sauce you put in at the end.
Oh, it's a hot sauce.
No, you put it in the end.
So you're basically just cooking a patty and a bun.
You are microwaving the bread, which is also a bit weird.
I really enjoyed the video, by the way. They really hit every diversity in there. Every job, like doctor goes to the vending machine.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I thought. It might be a joke at first. Because imagine that, like some guy gives you surgery, then he just pops out for a vending machine burger.
Yeah,
like you'd imagine he's getting sushi or something. I hope he washes his hands.
Well, does the robo arm wash its hands? How do we know how sanitized the robot's hands are?
Too fair, actually, that's made me think, though. I knew someone who works at Burger King for about 2 years, and he had a rule against washing his hands. So it can't be...
An active rule.
Yeah. He's a man of principle. So a microchip brain implant has allowed a paralyzed man to communicate for the first time in years. A paralysed man with ALS, and the first thing he said was, "Can I have a beer, please?"
Let me understand this story. So this is it's a science story, essentially, right? So they've created a chip which your thoughts are then processed into speech.
Pretty much, and it's slightly, I'm not going to do it justice, but it's kind of like, because people with ALS, their brain can still be fully functional, so it kind of, they managed to map this bloke's brain and then show him the screen, so from him seeing what his brain does, he's able to then communicate, and it puts it, he's able to spell out words, including beer, which I think came, apparently he said beer, and then he did his like kids' names or something.
Oh yeah, children's names.
he's English, he has to be English.
He's German, actually.
Germans love their beer. They do love their beer.
Did have an even bigger one, yeah.
And what do you think the implications are? Obviously, ALS is a disease. There was the ALS challenge. Do you remember that?
The ice bucket.
The ice bucket challenge. Famously, Stephen Hawking was someone that suffered from it, and obviously proved the naysayers of the diagnosis wrong, and was able to live a very impactful life. What is the everyday use for this that can change the world, I guess, is what I'm asking.
It's not going to be, fortunately for most people, it won't be every day, because I think this guy's was quite an extreme example where he was pretty much completely frozen, whereas even Stephen Hawking, the way he communicated, like he'd be able to sort of twitch his cheek and stuff, and it would work stuff out that way. So the idea is that this is kind of experimental, but if it carries on working, then it's going to be rolled out en masse, and it means people who previously weren't able to communicate at all now can, and also can communicate, kind of demonstrate that they still have fully functioning brains in a sense, like having a sense of humour kind of thing.
I found it really interesting, actually. I think it kind of gave this person a second life, because I think it said that he was 30, he was married, he had kids, so this all happening, I guess, was also hard for the family as well, so it must be nice for them to be like, this man that I've known my whole, like, or for how many years, or my whole life, I can still find a way to speak to him, or like, you know, he's still here with us. But at the same time, it's kind of prolonging a grieving process, I feel, as well, because it's not the same person at the same time.
Is that actually him? Is that what you're saying? Like, does that actually, is it a representation of him?
But yeah, your body and your, I don't think the fact that it isn't his voice matters, because even your physical body is kind of just a vehicle for the mind, isn't it? So if he's still him and expressing his personality through this chip, then I think that would be a lot better than having nothing at all.
I'm a lot less forgiving, like, you know, I can look at other people's situations and what this could do for the world and, you know, individuals in this circumstance and whatnot, and I think it's a magical thing, right, on one hand, but I'm a lot less forgiving if it was myself. So for other people, you know, you get to interact with your kids, like this guy's got a family, and you can see them grow and still essentially talk to them, you know, the more this develops, the better it gets, right? And there's a lot of beauty in that, but if it was me, if I was lying there with this, and I could only, I only had functionality in my brain, I'm still in a position where I don't think this would resolve it.
But you're saying that as someone who's fully able-bodied and can talk. If you were in a bed not being able to say or do anything, then this might be the best news you could possibly have.
We all have something to say, and if you are in that position, it will enable you to better communicate, and I think that's probably the most powerful thing about the story.
And I find it kind of fascinating as well, because if you look at what Elon Musk is saying, where he said, like, in 15 years, we won't, I know you said normal humans, but we won't have...
He's not a normal human, though. Let's face facts, right?
But he said we won't have, like, need for spoken language, and everything would be kind of communicating through brainwaves. So this all kind of almost feels very metaverse to me. Like, it's almost metaverse in real life. Like, he's plugged into a program and you're communicating that way.
Like, yeah, man. Yeah. It's definitely the start of that. It's, like, the first few steps.
That's what I'm saying. Is it not, like, part of the kind of the elevation of the non-physical mind over the physical body, which is kind of where we're heading anyway?
But that's why I find it interesting. Where does this go? So obviously this has a very real and direct help and need at the moment, but where does that technology go next? And like you say, being able to communicate without words, being able to think something in it, being able to, you know, access your brain, that's pretty crazy, right?
I'd love to sit here and be able to fire thoughts into your brain.
I'll decline that, thanks, James. I'm declining. Shanice, do you have anything that you want to bring to the table this week?
I don't know if it would really relate to the two stories that we've spoken about, but I did read an article that was talking about interactive billboards And there was actually billboards launched down the road in Westfield. Big issue. There's people who hand out the magazines and on the roads. Basically, because COVID has been like hard on them, there was no one out on the street. Now that they're back in action, now there's billboards where it will say, "Hi, I'm Shanice and I'm here." And it will like have a picture of them and it will point to the direction of where they are. And I found that quite interesting, just from like an interactive billboard.
So let me understand this story a little bit more. So they are fitted, the vendor is fitted with a GPS tracker, and when he walks past this billboard, he is then projected onto this billboard, and X amount of people can suddenly see him, as opposed to just the passing traffic. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And the billboard points at where, the billboard, him or her, points at the real him or her, saying they're over there.
As you've highlighted, the big issue sellers would have been through a problematic time over the last 2 years. And as a way of bringing them back into the public consciousness, I think that's a really nice way of doing it.
Yeah, and I think it solves, I feel like often a big issue, vendors are quite invisible. And I feel like this is a way to make them really visible. And I remember when I used to go to work in Liverpool Street, there was always a vendor. Every single person who walked by, he'll be like, "Good evening" or "Good morning, have a good day." Everyone would walk by him. I'd be the only one to say hi. And I feel like this will be nice just going forward to just, give them a bit of more of conversation, hopefully more people will go up to them.
That's part of it as well. It's meant to make them, because if they're hitting up the same spots, it's meant to make them like recognizable. So it's got their name plastered up there.
Yeah.
So like that bloke,
person,
for example, it'd be like,
yeah,
people would now come by and say, "Hello, Derek," or whatever his name was. So also the other thing, this is what I thought was good about it. There's like a QR code on the screen, because I think that's the other thing with a big issue. People don't want a newspaper, they don't want someone to hold now. So you can scan a QR code, and I think you pay for it through your phone, through Apple Pay or whatever, and then you get a digital version, which I think will make such a difference.
Literally, that was my next question, because the big issue is a physical thing, and we are moving more and more away from having sort of physical newspapers and magazines. I think that digitising that is a really, really clever way of getting people to re-engage with the publication, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, well, we seem to kind of be a fan of that one.
Yeah.
Unless, Jaron, have you got something to say on it?
I'm a fan.
All right, okay, cool. Well, look, there's been some good stories there. Jaron, do you have anything to bring to the table today?
I guess if we're talking about a better world, fast fashion, throwaway fashion, Primark, ASOS. Actually, speaking about ASOS, you know, you get free returns after within a month of ordering online. If you send back anything that's cheaper than a fiver, they just throw it away because it's not worth the hassle of pre-packaging it back up. I mean, that blew my mind when I found out about that. Anyway, I digress.
We probably shouldn't send this episode to ASOS now, should we?
Well, that was our main target, wasn't it? And you just literally ruined the podcast. Thanks, Jaron. Thanks for coming.
Shut down ASOS. There's a company called Vestiaire Collective. Anyway, they champion the anti-throwaway fashion era of looking for a greener world and, more ethical conditions for all, essentially. And their latest campaign used a bunch of old vintage clothing to create their new brand ambassadors, huge puppets. They were photographed with models in a really stylistic and quite really cool way. I was actually genuinely blown away from it.
I think the video is absolute lols. It's really, really fun. It's reminiscent of the Muppets, but in a very fashionista way. It's a fashion show where these puppets are walking down the catwalk, but it's really, really funny. What is the sustainable angle on it?
It's made of old clothes. The puppets are made of old clothes.
And what's the offering?
And also, I think Vestiaire, they are like a what they call pre-loved clothing brand. So I think it's all kind of vintage, and then I think there's some like recycled materials and stuff, kind of reworking. So it's like it's kind of a good demonstration of a way you can be creative with old clothes by making the puppet, but that's kind of symbolic of how you can be creative with old clothes by actually wearing them again.
We joked about ASOS, but I think that these sorts of campaigns and movements are important because we're not going to get rid of ASOS. Don't worry, ASOS. You're fine. You're staying.
But you're on the list.
Great campaigns and great ideas make big companies and successful companies move in different ways and different directions. And it puts pressure on to act in a sustainable fashion because that's what people are asking for. And the more we ask for it, the more we'll get it.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, though. I just realised something. Jaron, you're a hypocrite.
Ooh.
You were worried about the Roboburger taking jobs. What about the models who are out of work now?
I don't know. I think 5 models can have a day off.
So I had a story to bring this week, and it's quite broad, and I doubt it's going to make it in anyway. I'm going to try and pitch it to you, James, and the wider team. Memes, in general, memes, they're fucking brilliant, right? And it's been a brilliant week for memes. So we are recording this on Thursday, it goes out tomorrow, but still the memes are coming thick and fast. And I'm going to read you one, I'm going to describe this meme to you. It's got a picture of a black and white picture of a soldier writing home, and the big text says on it, "My dearest Penelope, it's day 3 of the Will Smith memes, and I fear there will be no end to them." With the Hollywood slap that happened at the weekend, so if you have been living under a rock, Will Smith got up on stage at the Oscars and slapped Chris Rock for a joke which involved his wife's hair condition, right? And it has been big news. Now, why I think memes are worth talking about here is because there has been some brilliant memes this week. And it just sort of highlights where memes are in our cultural repertoire. We did a study just on Gen Z, I think it was a couple of years ago now, and there was one really interesting stat. Now, I don't know the stat exactly, but it was an amazing number. It was an amazing number about how many young people get their news through memes. And on the face of it, it's like, what? You're gonna be reading about Russia and a meme? But the point of memes is they bring stories to your attention. Quite often, I'll see a meme and I don't really understand it, and then I'll see a third meme and then I'm Googling, what is this meme about? What is the topic that they are talking about? And I find the memes that have come out this week about Will Smith and Chris Rock, A, there's been some really, really funny ones, but B, they start to cross-pollinate with other bits of culture. So there has been Putin and Will Smith and Chris Rock mashup memes. Likewise, this is another great one. It's a picture of Kanye West rubbing his hands together behind a tree, and it says, "Kanye discovering it's okay to slap comedians." And then in the legend copy, it says, "Your next skit." And again, it's taking things that are happening all over the place and putting them into one meme. I just think memes are like our modern equivalent of sort of like political cartoons. They are a really, really clever way of being funny, poignant. And I think meme writers are just as valid today as sort of journalistic writers, making you think about an issue in a different way.
Yeah, I enjoyed them. I know what you're saying, because it's like, if you look at the big pages like Fuck Jerry or Tank Sinatra, all of them, you can imagine as soon as it happened, almost like sort of newsroom vibes, like gathered round, come on boys and girls, what can we come up with? And it kind of became a competition between the various meme pages to have, well, first of all, to have like the first Will Smith one, and then to have the best one. So I'm here for it. I agree. I think it's a really unique form of humour that is kind of unique to sort of the internet generation, I suppose. And if you show it to a 50-year-old woman, it might not make an awful lot of sense, unless it's one of those shitty minion memes or something.
Question for you, James. Do you know where the word meme came from? Or rather, who coined the word meme?
Richard Dawkins?
Oh, stop being so good at pub quizzes! Was coined by Richard Dawkins in 1976 in his book The Selfish Gene as an attempt to explain how ideas replicate, mutate and evolve. I think that's a really good way of understanding the way that culture's moving, and obviously Richard Dawkins was ahead of his time by highlighting that that's the way that we'll be perhaps communicating with ideas in the future.
I think it's just like, It's hilarious, sort of like looking at the different Instagram accounts as well, because obviously there's, because it was at the Oscars as well, you're going to have like sort of all areas posting different memes that relate to their humor for their audience. So I mostly follow like Shay Barrell and Just Bait for the most part. So their memes are going to be completely like left field to, you know, the more like, I guess, not cleaner, but just
mainstream
like,
memes. You're talking about mainstream memes now.
But it's an interesting point though, because you're right, how different then subcultures kind of make the memes relevant to them. Like yeah. There's a load of like, I saw a load of football memes based off, and obviously you wouldn't normally get memes across over between sort of Paddy Power and the Oscars, but then this, to your point earlier, it kind of fuses two different worlds that you wouldn't expect to be able to mix. Yeah.
You raise a good point about different issues being highlighted by different communities and meme sites, because what I'm Just Bait did really well is during the early days of the Ukraine invasion, I'm Just Bait was really good at bringing an issue to light, which was different minorities, so like African workers that were trying to get out of Ukraine and couldn't, and Indian students that were trying to get out of Ukraine and couldn't. And what it does is it basically brings, again, it goes back to my point of making you understand news or seeing issues that are out there in a really short, succinct and relatable way very quickly. Yeah. And as we're talking about, different communities have different takes on a story, and that's where meme sites have a really good and important role to play, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like even though it's not funny that they can't get out, for instance, I think I'm Just Bait posted a video of an African man who the news report asked if he was going to fight for Ukraine. He was like, no, I'm trying to get home. But it was like,
no, but it was funny. It was, I saw so that funny. One. It was really funny. He was like, no.
But it's still like, so we have the funny side, but then also it's like an awareness side as well. And I think that that's like,
well, that's what humor does really well, doesn't it? Yeah. Humor is able to break down those boundaries. Come in with something funny, but then make you think, actually, that's really serious.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's kind of the role of humour sometimes in important issues.
It is, yeah. Okay, Gareth showed me a picture saying next year's Oscars host is going to be Mike Tyson. And I think Will Smith is sitting on his hands there.
James, there was one more story that you had that looked quite stunning, but why don't you talk about it?
Yeah, Lech Poznan, football team in Poland, celebrated their centenary as a club this week. So their fans decided to basically set their stadium on fire with about a million fireworks and flares and all that shit. And it was all captured by some unidentified person with a drone. And it's going to be hard for me to do it justice through speaking, but it looks mental.
It looks really, really amazing. So it's all the fans with a sort of like that very sort of European football vibe of flares going.
It's terrifying.
It does look like perhaps the end of the world. But what the interesting thing here is they have one of those new drones. We actually used one on a shoot. They're really, really zippy. They're small. And they can,
FPV drones or something?
Yeah, right, yeah. And they can basically go everywhere. They can go through a letterbox. They're that small that they can go through anything. But it looked astounding. It looks really, really quite exciting. But was this a branded piece? Was this just a piece of?
No one's claimed it, so that's kind of what makes me like it more, because it's just, I don't think it's just some fan with a drone thinks I'm gonna capture this. Like, it hasn't been muddied by it being BT Sport or something. Somebody just did it for the fucks of it. But it's funny, they always make it off like these ultras, which is what they are, because apparently there was some like big display behind the goal as well. So they're like, we're proper solid, but we also do arts and crafts.
I'm a pilot at the weekend with my drone. look, we've had some really interesting stories this week. What do you feel is going to make it in? Because you've got quite a lot on the table there.
So the microchip, I'm kind of lumping microchip and big issue together, because I feel like a bit of a bastard leaving either of them out. So I think they should go in, because the big issue one is more obvious, so I just think that's a really nice campaign. Mm-hmm. And then the microchip one, if that turns out to be kind of groundbreaking science, I think it would be good for us at least to talk about it and bring attention to it. So I think those should both go in. Robo Burger, let's put that in the maybe pile for now.
What about my memes? What about that? Will Smith memes?
Yeah, I remember you talking about memes for quite a long time. and I like it. Yeah, we could do. It's going to force me to try to write something thought-provoking about the culture of memes.
I feel they're more culturally relevant than the Robo Burger.
Yeah, no, they probably are. And I did think it would be a bit mad to if Cool Shit's kind of cultural commentary to not include any mention of one of the biggest cultural moments ever would probably be a bit mad. So I think tell you what, Gareth, for you, I think we can squeeze that in there.
Okay, cool. All right, well, listen, if people want to see what has made it and what hasn't made it into this week's newsletter, where can they find that? Have you got this down yet? Can you do this smoothly?
Yeah,
well,
I decided I'm going to go back saying www.
Okay, so, like a man from the 90s.
So it's www.zachagency.com/coolshit.
Amazing. Jaron and Shanice, thank you very much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
It is lunchtime. I am starving. So hungry. If this has been like a bad podcast this week, it's because everyone's really hangry. And James.
Yeah.
Health permitting, I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you.